You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dr. Yes, I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the water, and I'd like to give the information, asking for the hit plug makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Well, happy holidays to everybody. I hope you got through it okay, and now as we move back into our regular lives, the problems just never seem to go away. And we'll be joined in just a moment by my good friend Doug Hagman. But I first have an important announcement, a program announcement regarding the Common Sense Show. We believe it's going to happen by next week, but I have entered into an agreement with Red State Radio and their affiliate radio stations, and they're going to be carrying the Common Sense Show. We're really looking forward to that partnership. And it's even more exciting than that, and that's exciting enough. But Red State is actually tuning in on the new apps that are coming out in the 2017 cars, where you'll be able to listen to shows like this from your radio in your car. Did you hear that? Goodbye, mainstream media. And I'm saying that with a great big grin on my face. I am so thrilled that we're going to be able to bring this to you. Anyway, you're going to hear a little bit of a program difference next week. Not significant. We usually come in about 2:30 after the top of the hour. We're going to add a news segment to accommodate our sponsors on our affiliate lines, and we'll be coming in at about 5 after. Actually, the bump in will come in at 5 after, and we'll be in right after that. And we hope to have that in place by next Sunday. We're really, really excited because we're expanding our reach. And if you think because we elected Donald Trump, the game is over, No. So many people are going back to sleep. We're going to talk to Doug about that because they think Trump is the Messiah. Trump is not the Messiah. We'll be getting into that. Anyway, got to mention a few sponsors here before we get started. Renaissance Precious Metals, my good friend Steve Quayle. You don't think the collapse is still coming? Well, wait a minute. Last I checked, we were on our way to $21 trillion national debt. That's the good news. $240 trillion of unfunded mandated liabilities. Don't get mad. I think we all deserve it, but that's Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. It's in big trouble. And then you look at the 8 million pound elephant in the room, credit swap derivatives, estimated now to be about $1.7 quadrillion with an annual interest rate of $505 trillion. Did I say trillion first? I meant quadrillion. Yeah, that's right. $1.7 quadrillion. Does that sound like these debts are going away? And, of course, the good bankers, out of the goodness of their heart, they're just going to forgive the debt, right? No, so this is why I say, Steve Quayle, put your soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals. Call him tomorrow, 406-586-4842. Also want to give a mention to Bob Griswold, readymaderesources.com. He is the king of preparation. We'll call him King Prepper from now on. Trying to get Bob on towards the end of this month. But he's got the best product line that's out there. Call 1-800-627-3809 tomorrow. Go to his website. Check out the fine product display line. Everything from night vision to how to create your own water to anything you need that you could possibly conceive of. Communications, you name it, Bob has it. Go to readymaderesources.com. Give him a call, 1-800-627-3809. And what are you also going to need during these troubled times? Well, you better be prepared with food. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, and alliances with your neighbors are necessary. Well, we can help you with the food. Go to numana.com/Hodges. And for a brief time, we have for you a 5% discount. Simply put Hodges, NOV5, in the coupon code box, and you can take 5% off the purchase price. Finally, you heard Robert Kudla last week. Was he interesting or what? This guy is really on top of the trends. He's a great, great economist, great analysis. We're going to have him back again probably in about 5 or 6 weeks. But Bob Kudla does have a website that you can follow, and I got requests from people out there. Say, hey, we didn't get that down, Dave. Can you give that to us again? Sure. His website is tradegenius.co, and he is a trade genius. Tradegenius.co. Well, that takes care of the people who bring you this program every Sunday evening from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. As I said, Doug will be joining us in just a moment. We did a pre-record with Ted Brower a few days ago on the quantum physics associated with spirituality. And you have to have an open mind, but I will tell you, it's very, very intriguing, and the things that physics is unlocking is incredible. And don't give me the satanic ritual stuff. You're talking to a Christian. Ted's a Christian. Okay, so please save those sides of the comments. But it is interesting to note that didn't God create the laws of science? Okay, we'll get into that in hour number two and hour number three. Well, okay, all the business aside now, Doug Hagman. He is one half of the team, the Hagman & Hagman Report, that appears right here on this great radio network, Global Star Radio Network. You can tell I've been off for a while. And Doug is on from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. And I don't think anybody out there has better guests, better content, a better program than Doug Hagman. And you also can catch him on his YouTube channel, The Hagman Report. We'll let him tell you all about it, as well as the book he's written about the murder of his uncle and really how this catapulted him into kind of where he is today. Doug Hagman, thanks for joining us, my friend.
Mr. Hodges, thanks for having me. Really appreciate the invite, and want to wish everyone, I hope everyone had a great holiday season, New Year's and Christmas, and looking forward to an exciting 2017, aren't we?
I think exciting is an underscore. It's yeah, absolutely incredible. But I have to tell you, Doug, I'm concerned at some of the apathy that I'm beginning to see creep back into the political process. And what I want to do in this hour is start off with some of your feelings about predictions, and we can use that as a springboard to go into some more critical issues in depth. But, you know, we have the inauguration, hopefully, coming up in less than 2 weeks, January the 20th. Kind of starting near and going far through 2017, what kinds of things do you think we can expect to see?
Well, if I can address the one thing that you mentioned, and that's the apathy. I am saddened and concerned by the apathy that I've been seeing among conservatives, among Christians, among the people who know better or should know better. What I'm seeing is this reliance or dependence on one man, and that's Donald Trump. And, you know, boy, now we dodged a bullet. I'm sure we have dodged a bullet indeed. However, I do believe, and folks, Dave Hodges and I spoke off air, and we've been speaking off air, as well as with other independent media researchers and broadcasters, and I will say without any reservation that I do believe that now is the time to prepare, because right now we have fully stocked shelves on in the stores for the most part. We've got some time available to us. We don't know how long, but if you're not busy preparing right now, I fear that you will be missing the boat. And when I say prepare for anything from a bank holiday to the supply disruption to whatever. I don't know where this is going to come from or what the cause might be. It might be a multitude of causes, but just to stress, now is not the time to just sit back and think we've got all the time in the world, because right now I think is the most dangerous period in our in American history, in world history. And folks, and I know I'll say this, I've talked to Dave Hodges off air long enough to know that he researches, 18, 20 hours a day sometimes. And the information that goes into his articles, but the information that we talk about, has inspired me and has required me actually to prepare even more today than ever before. So if you're listening to this and you're a conservative, you're awake, you understand that it's dangerous out there, please, please, please do not stop preparing. A storm is coming, and you know, all of the dots are out there. We just have to connect them. How it's going to play out, in my view anyway, how it's going to play out, I'm not so sure, but I do know this. There's a war being waged against Donald Trump, against the movement that he represents, and a war being waged against conservatives and Christians, and especially conservative Christians. Certainly a difference with a slight distinction. So that's what kind of my opening statement there.
One of the things that really concerned me, I spoke at a meeting of activists, great activists, yesterday here in the Phoenix area, and really kind of impromptu. I was just planning to go as an observer and end up getting called up, and I don't think my message was real well received by some of, I don't think many, but I think some of the people were not in agreement with what I said. And here's what I said, and Doug, this is what I mean by apathy. I talked about the dangers of CalExit, that if California exits the union, just practically, okay, it'll have a huge agricultural impact on our country. What do we do with the bases that we need for coastal security? If they're under the control of a foreign power, I think that is a major, major issue. But people want to just take the fact that California has become a cesspool of liberalism, which it has. I totally agree with that. But some people would prefer to just let it go and not worry about the consequences. And the consequences are staggering. But, Doug, I'll give you the big one. With the Chinese presence at the inland ports in California, hiding behind their solar energy farms, we let California go, we give them an unbridled beachhead for invasion of this country, and this is why CalExit keeps me up at night.
I totally agree with you on that, and I know there are some people out there, and especially the conservatives who are applauding this initiative. Oh, let them go. But their intellectual understanding of what would happen, first of all, what it would take to allow this to happen constitutionally, it would not I cannot see this happening by normal constitutional means or by lawful means. It would have to be a civil war kind of secession as opposed to a constitutional breakaway. And with that would come a lot of violence and bloodshed. That's what I believe. And the other part of this, too, and statistics will bear this out, Dave. I've been, since you and I spoke, I've been looking at this topic very carefully because you said a few things that really got me. You know, I wanted to check some things out, and I'm looking at the numbers that are fresh. I mean, the ink is not dry on the reports yet from the FBI, from NICS and NICS. What we're seeing is more liberals or progressives arming themselves, purchasing weapons, and I'm not talking about 22s, I'm talking about ARs and AKs and SKS and you know, rifles and with the weapon, pretty heavy weaponry, especially in the California, especially in the West Coast, than ever before. The numbers are staggering. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I do know that it's a significant rise from right around Inauguration Day to the present. And if you check with gun stores, you'll get the same information, that it's not the the normal hunting, the hunter, or the normal guy that has a gun already. And these are people that never purchased guns before, and they're all, shall we say, all races, and reflect all progressive, what I would term as progressive elements of society. So that's kind of an alarming thing to me. And then you've got, but you're exactly right in the larger sense with respect to California losing that very strategically important landmass. Of course, we can't do that. We cannot give away any land. And kind of parallel to that, Dave, if I can mention this as well, Obama has given away or federalized lands and waters 2.5 times the state of Texas already during his 8 years in the Oval Office. We are being, as a society and as members, as citizens of the United States, we are being pushed into these smaller areas. Our land is being taken over by the federal government. The federal government's only allowed by law, constitutionally, 10 square miles, and that represents D.C. But what's happening is the federal government's overtaking much of our federal, or they're increasing their ownership of land. So you combine that with the potential for Cal exit, along with the people behind that initiative and the reasons for that initiative, I don't think you'll have too many conservatives spreading false bravado or internet bravado on message boards on conservative internet forums. So I'm very concerned about that, as you are.
But most of the people don't even know about it, including I have family members in California who are well-educated and aware, and this has been successfully kept out of the media. The only reason I know about it is thanks to the good work of Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio, and he's on Red State Radio. Paul has embedded sources who have been at these meetings. Doug, they've got cartels at these meetings with Governor Brown's representatives, the Bank of China, the Mexican consulate. The cartels are there in great number. The Bank of China, emissaries of the Chinese government. And when California exits, they plan to go under as a protectorate of the UN. In fact, they even opened an embassy in Moscow. I ran a story on that about 10 days ago, and I had the pictures of the rollout. And this was reported in the Russian media. Of course, not a word of it here. And let me give you the bottom line, kind of like verifying what you just said about the violence that's coming. In one of the meetings, one of the embedded sources told Paul that the cartel said, well, if they won't let us out peacefully, we'll just start killing white people at public events. And no one challenged it. There were 3 members of the Obama administration at this meeting, and no one challenged it. So when you say there is going to be hell to pay in California with the violence, I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and it's it amazes me when people, Dave, when people post the message boards and say, bring it on. They have no idea. Anyone who has studied the Civil War in any kind of, even on a cursory level, they've got no idea what kind of violence that they're looking at. And this would be the absolute worst kind of violence, brother against brother, much like the Civil War. But the Cal exit is such a bad idea that, well, and I think you were telling me too, and I don't want to necessarily change the subject, but kind of a part of this, weren't you stating, and you've written, I believe, about the Mexican initiatives, shall we say, to take back land that they believe that the United States has already stolen from them.
Yeah, exactly. These extremist radicals, and they're from La Raza, Mecha, and
right. They
originally had this movement called Reconquista de Aztlan, which basically said that because of the unjust war, and I don't agree with that statement, that was an unjust war perpetrated by this country, but because of the unjust war perpetrated against the Mexican people and the loss of the American Southwest, that they wished to reclaim this land that they were referring to as Aztlan, and hence the term Reconquista de Aztlan, and they want to kick out. Now, you know, to a point, I'm sympathetic with their feelings, but gosh, how many years has it been, people? It's kind of time to move on now. But not only that, Doug, Mecha was actually actively calling for the deportation of, quote, white Europeans from those states once the reconquering had taken place. And this group formed one of the foundational pillars of Brown's CalExit movement. I mean, he's incorporated these radicals into his movement. Now, Paul Preston, who is really well connected in the state capitol, Paul Preston came out and actually said, well, I'm going to try to get some comments here from the governor. And he announced that in an interview I did with him. And the follow-up with that is that the governor is not making any comments. Now, if it weren't true, if all this stuff weren't true, Why wouldn't Governor Brown, who's illegally serving a third term, I might mention, why wouldn't he come out and deny it if it's not true, instead of saying, I have no comment?
Well, that's a great point. And I think it that's the kind of question that I think answers itself. Obviously, we're seeing we're seeing this initiative, this poorly thought out, we're seeing this initiative that I believe also has its roots, as does the Mexican initiative, which those are my words, that's my term for it or my phrase for it. But if you take a few steps back and you look at the, in my view, the events that are taking place concurrent with one another, that includes CalExit, I do believe that there's this this larger globalist agenda behind it. The very same people who are meddling in Europe and with Russia are the very same people who are pushing this, and the unfortunately, many people, including some people here in the United States who should know better, are cheering this along. And I think that this, all of this, is happening not as a conspiracy, but the concurrent nature, shall I say, the fact that it's happening at the same time, that's not accidental. I think it's convenient and serendipitous, and I think it's being exploited. I don't think it's necessarily planned, but I think that one is working off the other. And I think that pretty much it's kind of like a martial arts move where, this is how I look at it, when you have this this trending emotionalism that we see on social networking, and of course you see this backlash against Donald Trump, and you see this backlash against what people term as nationalism. They're going to use, when I say they, I'm talking about the powers, the globalists are going to use that momentum that's created by the election, for example, and use it to exacerbate any ill will or to exploit any enthusiasm for things like CalExit, for events like, any type of events that will create a divide within the United States, and I think that's what we're seeing right now. So although some of it, Dave, might indeed be planned, I think a lot of it is good timing and the use of good timing, at least in their eyes, that this is all taking place. I don't know if that makes sense, but I can't, I just can't see it happening any other way or for any other reason.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, there's a Mexican connection to this, and they have members of their consulate there. And when we look at something else, I've been in contact with people, independent people in Mexico and Mexico City. And they have been reporting to me on their view of the gas shortage that's going on in Mexico. And they're saying, well, gas shortage, Dave, you're kind of jumping tracks. No, I'm not. This all connects.
Yes.
And what they know, but they're not allowed to print. I want to say this again. What the Mexican journalists know, but they're not allowed to print, and they want me to say it on this show tonight, is this. Is that Obama, and by the way, this has been in print, and it's referenced on my articles on the Common Sense Show, Obama has diverted oil to reserves rather than let it flow into Mexico, thus driving the price up and creating shortages. There's other reasons for shortages, too, but that's the big one. Now, what's interesting is Pemex, which is, the gas company for Mexico, they have pivoted towards China for relief. Remember I told you my major concern with CalExit is national defense? Well, here comes the first salvo. If Mexico becomes buddy-buddy with China, and we know China is involved in CalExit, so it's just one big happy little family there, then Mexico, allied with China, can actually create a beachhead along with CalExit for a Red Dawn invasion of the southern underbelly of the United States. Now, before people say, Dave, you are so full of crap, you need to sit down and wash yourself off. Well, I took this to one of my good sources, former Arsoft guy, and I asked him about it, and he said, we've war-gamed this. He said this very scenario, we've war-gamed it. We've war-gamed it with food, and then we war-gamed it with oil in Mexico and China coming to the rescue.
Wow. And people need to consider the economic benefits to China. Well, when you talk about energy supplies and you talk about natural resources, because of its population, that would be a boon to China. And not just that, but also strategically in a military sense, as well as the economic sense. So people need to be thinking three-dimensionally in this. And you're right.
Well, the as you like to say, the ink on the page is not fully dry on this, but there's a picture that's clearly emerging. And I would say probably one out of three comments I get, both to my YouTube channel and to my website, are just let California go. And
yes.
Doug, I'll give you another thing that concerns me. I had on two leading farmers at the beginning of the year, and they projected that 15% of American farmers would leave the business by the end of the year. Well, that was achieved by September. And we look now at, if California exits, the food impact on this country, plus what we're already seeing with a growing shortage of farmers, this could be devastating to agricultural prices as well as just basic food availability.
Oh, yeah. I wonder how many people realize or understand the farming process here in the United States. And this is something that you had gotten me thinking about as well. And I would urge everyone to go to your website. And this is not a shameless plug for Dave Hodges, but when you look at what we're talking about, and you were, I've got to say this, because all of this connects. When you look at Clinton's tenure is during her time as Secretary of State, and you were talking about her and Obama's and the, well, in particular, the Clinton Global Initiative and the Clinton Foundation's giving away resources to Russia, Uranium One, for example, that later, months, I mean, you had written about this months before Peter Schweizer came out with Clinton Cash, the book. It was an amazing thing to see how the United States, the globalists in the United States that include people like Lindsey Graham, John McCain, you know, as lawmakers, and then you've got Clinton, of course, Hillary, the former Secretary of State, now just she's not going away, but the globalists.
Fleeing felon. Let's call her a fleeing felon, okay?
Yeah, exactly. And that's very, very well said, too. What we're seeing here is this dramatic, in my view, dramatic selling off, or even worse, giving away for personal enrichment, not just our resources, but very important parts of our infrastructure. And this all ties together. So, you know, when I look at this, I'm thinking, what are we thinking allowing this to take place? That's certainly not within the Constitution, certainly not consistent with our constitutional with the Constitution does mandate. So we are in for, and looking at this going back to your original question, as we see 2017 begin, and we're looking at this pushback from the globalists against Donald Trump, for example, and it's not just against Trump, but it's against the movement that he has created, and specifically against people like yourself, independent journalists, independent media like yourself, and others, and using many of the assets that are available to us, such as YouTube and other venues, even PayPal, for example, to cut off funding for the independent journalists, so we cannot report on the very things that you're reporting on and we're reporting on, and using the algorithms that are involved in the social networking feeds like Facebook and Twitter to further censor this information. You can see this multifaceted, multi-front war that we're in, which we are engaged, that has been waged upon us. So it's in addition to everything that you said, 2017, I believe, it's going to be much more difficult for the people who want the truth to get the truth because of the censorship, because of the assaults on our freedoms to operate unmolested, do commerce normally. The commerce, by the way, for the independent media has dramatically changed over the last several weeks. And people are not, the average person out there doesn't see it because they're not involved in it. And you can't fault them. But we, as members of the independent media, talking about these subjects, the Cal exit, and other things related to that, we are paying a heavy price, and I do suspect that that price will, we're going to be continue to be hammered regardless of Trump being in office, because what is taking place is not within or by the government officials, but in spite of the government officials, or even at times in collusion with them. So what, I guess what I'm saying to you is the playing field for 2017 may have been realigned on a larger federal level because of Trump's victory, but in a larger sense, and in the more practical sense, the fight that we, in which we are engaged, in which we were thrust, that we didn't draw first blood in this, they did, in terms of their fight against the independent media, which all of this connects, is going to get much, much deeper, and the battle is going to rage even further and draw more blood. I'm just trying to give people a larger picture, because all of these subjects are interrelated, and frankly, Dave, I can see that 2017, although it's going to be a positive year in many respects, it is going to be a much more difficult time. The landscape has changed and is changing so much that, well, even as you had pointed out, as well, even with the passage of the NDAA, the establishment of the censorship on page 547 of the propaganda centers and such, it is just an incredible uphill battle that we'll be facing to get this word out that we're speaking today. We may not be able to get it out in the venues which we're used to 6 months from now, or perhaps even 6 weeks from now.
That is one of my great fears as well. I totally agree.
Yeah, and I apologize for monopolizing the conversation or taking it in different directions, but I just, you know what, Dave, after our conversations that we've had, and you pointing out some very interesting events and movements, I guess, as you have written about on your website, I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know, there's the dots that are being connected. You're certainly more right than you are wrong, number one. And number two, when you walk this out beyond what is known, and when you take this into what's not known, or you take this into the realm of speculation, it not only is it does it get hairy there, it gets a little bit eerie, however, it gets a little bit more it gets a little bit more disconcerting when you look at it on a larger scale like this.
It's very disconcerting. Excuse me. And I want to say this and say it in the proper framework. I have growing concerns about Donald Trump. I think he's done some of the good things with Carrier and other businesses. He's saying, hey, I'll give you tax breaks if you keep your business here. Otherwise, you'll face importation tax. I like that. But, Doug, let me just postulate something here, and then we'll get your feeling as to whether there's going to be a war. But here's my concern. I reported from foreign media 2 days ago. Actually, it was Saturday. Excuse me, 1 day ago. And I reported from foreign media NATO troop movements, as reported by the Russian media and by other European media. Not a word in the American media, not one word. And we have massive amounts of troops and supplies and equipment, mechanized armor and so forth, amassing on the Russian border concentrating on Poland and Lithuania. I also learned that the Russians have countered by moving tactical nuclear weapons into the region. Now, keep in mind, now this is foreign media, because you're not allowed to know the truth, America. They interviewed Ben Hodges, who is the European theater commander for NATO for the American forces. No relation, and I'm happy to say that, no relation. He said, our consolidation will be finished by January the 20th. Well, Doug, I'm concerned because if Putin allows us to consolidate on his border, he's a damn fool. And if he's going to attack, he has to attack before the inauguration, which is January the 20th. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, you have better military intelligence contacts than I have at the moment, and I have to defer to you. But based on the evidence, the documentation that I've seen, again, stemming from your reports, looking at this, combining that with the information on a, on an intelligence basis, the special forces, for example, which, again, is part of the military, but there's also the element of the intelligence that is involved in this. I can see where there is this attempt by the globalists, as you have pointed out, and as you have painted this picture, to start something, whether it be in Syria, for example, or if Syria is not 100% in terms of its effectiveness in evoking the necessary response by Russia from NATO. And this is a NATO operation, as you had pointed out. Then, of course, movement over on that, in that theater. It's a whole different theater of operation. Yeah, I can see where something would happen, either deliberately or just because of a perceived threat, or even a, you know, they, what do they used to call that, a you know, slippery trigger finger kind of thing, where Trump, where this may not, I mean, obviously it may not, it doesn't have to happen on or before the 20th, but given that scenario, Trump will be faced with this already kind of a turnkey third world war that's about ready to take place, and this antagonism against Russia, NATO versus Russia, and I think people would be very I don't think people should mistake the apparent friendliness between Putin and Trump as being a potential buffer against this. This is bigger than Trump, and in some cases I believe this is bigger than Putin. However, Putin would be the guy to have to respond to whatever threat is posed by NATO, by the West, and by the United States, and by Israel. And people get irritated when I mention Israel, but they're part of it too, and the West. So yes, I there's something militarily combined with high levels of intelligence that's taking place that will appears to be opening a yet another theater of potential warfare and operation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you're right on the money with Israel, with the UN resolution that we did not block for the first time ever, and that's because Obama's a Muslim, let's call it what it is.
Yep.
Israel now is faced with diminished national security, and they have been now talking war. They're basically got their sabers out, and they're waving them around. And yep. So we have another mass instability. Well, you know, first of all, we know that Hillary Clinton was supposed to bring in the war, but since she was defeated, Obama, it was left up to him in this lame duck period to get it all done. I think he will. Here's what bothers me about Trump. Someone asked me at this meeting that I spoke at yesterday after it was over, said, what would you do if you were Trump with regard to this military buildup? And I said, I would get into Twitter, and I'd get into all the media that would have me convey my message. And this is what I would say. Obama, it's time for you to stay at home and play golf. stop provoking the Third World War. And I, if I can find out this information about troop movements, I even named the units that were involved, where they were from, foreign troops, American troops. So if I can find this out, you darn well bet that Trump's people can find this out. And he should be coming out right now and calling out Obama publicly and calling out Congress publicly for not stopping him. That he should be basically condemning Obama publicly in this to try to prevent a Third World War. And that might even give Putin cause to not attack us. Listen, if I were Putin, Doug, I would attack us tomorrow before we could consolidate our forces on his border.
Well, you know, militarily, that I can see where that makes sense. And strategically, I can see where that makes sense. I'm not certain. It's almost as if, and I think you'd agree with me, I do believe that Trump is being baited for a reaction. And a lot of times, for example, people don't understand the history, where Putin came from. They don't. Most millennials were not around or intellectually functional with respect to the existence of the Soviet Union. That they're not aware of the history there. And how America played the role in taking down the Soviet Union, of course, there was a huge economic war that took place. The warfare against between the United States and the Soviet Union back in subsequent to the Cold War or during the Cold War, and take the USSR down to break it up, it involved many different operations. And we're seeing the same thing, I believe, evolve today. We're seeing the economic sanctions take place against, I call them sanctions, maybe they're not officially called sanctions, but sanctions against Russia. We're seeing the military provocations. We're seeing the just a number of things, a number of different things take place. But the energy part of this, too, in particular, Syria, the pipeline in Syria, and the war that's waging in Syria that the United States, Obama, Hillary Clinton, the French, German, and Israel, the West started in Syria, and for that matter, the entirety of the Arab Spring, is in direct opposition against Russia, against Russian military strategic interests, as well as their economic interests. Even to the point now we're seeing Russia, Iran, and Turkey meeting together to work out a ceasefire in Syria, for example. The U.S., the CIA, and the West, they're the odd, and NATO, we're the odd people out. And we now are ready to at least in my view, to provoke Russia into a response based on that alone. And then, of course, domestically, what's the operational tagline you see everywhere is that Russia interfered in our elections, and we can't have that. So that does two things. It not only delegitimizes in the minds of at least 100 million Americans, maybe, delegitimizes Trump's presidency, but it also makes Russia, at least in a larger sense, I believe, as this bad guy, this very, very, even worse than the Cold War kind of enemy that we've got. So having, we'll say, the Muslim army, the caliphate that's developing as an enemy is not enough. The globalists are now looking for a larger enemy back again, Russia. And I think that that's all part of this larger plan. And the mental conditioning that you have written about against Americans that's being used on Americans. It's like Operation Mockingbird on steroids, the propaganda that's being pushed in, which does go back to the NDAA of 2017. So all of this tied together is whether or not this was a grand scheme it certainly has been set up to be able to be used as this major exploitation of various incidents that could very well be used to evoke a response, even a warlike response against Russia.
Do you not think that Trump shouldn't come out against Obama's actions that are provoking war?
Well, you know, to me, I look at it as he's kind of damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. If he does come out, the people within inside the Beltway could very well say, look, you're not in power yet. You've got another 12 days to go. Sit down and be quiet. Exercise decorum, will you? I mean, just look. He uses Twitter, tweets something out, and he's vilified across the board and in the mainstream media. So having him attempt at this point, even as close as he is to his inauguration, to attempt to massage policy or even communicate with foreign leaders as the president-elect, I think it would be there would be a backlash. I think he's trying to play nice right now with the establishment Republicans. He's trying to strike a balance there, but he's getting hammered by the progressives. Do I think he should do anything? Well, you know, it's not my call to make, but I certainly, if something he could do or would do would mitigate the chances for military hostilities or even economic warfare or whatever asymmetrical warfare there is out there, yeah, I think he should. But will it have, you know, a 100% effect? I don't know. Especially given the fact that he's under so much, I mean, even Hollywood. I mean, look at what Hollywood's doing to the guy. And people say, well, that doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, except in the perception of Americans, the perception of the people in the West. Oh, he's being he's this big pariah, and it's unfair to the guy. But it's also, I think, politically debilitating, and I think people have to understand just how debilitating it is. So he is kind of between a rock and a hard place, and I do believe, like I said, even if he would do something, I think he's damned, and if he doesn't do anything, he's going to be blamed for his inactions. So that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Do you think we're going to see massive civil unrest, maybe even culminating in a civil war?
Oh, sure. It's just a matter of when. It's not if, it's when. I stand by my insider sources back from, what, 5, 6, 7 years ago, 8 years ago. I've lost track now. But the globalists want to see chaos in the streets of America. That's their goal. They know that they've got to weaken America from within. We've seen it politically with Obama. We've seen it socially with Obama and his policies. Economically, we've seen it. Now, if we can exacerbate, or if they can exacerbate the strife along not just the political ideological lines, but along racial lines, along the economic lines, and every fracture that exists out there in America, and even among Christians too, which I'm watching this unfold, Dave. I'm watching this massive fracturing within, for example, the Christian community. I'm seeing this polarization develop unnecessarily, and people playing right into it. And so, yes, that's a kind of a long answer to a simple question, but yes, I see a civil war breaking out. And we'll look at Calexit, for example. Look at the divide there, even among families, among communities. So, yes, it's going to be a Calexit times 51 or 52, depends, or in Obama's case 57. But
a lot of people won't remember that. when he was on the campaign trail in 2012. He said there were 57 states.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he wasn't raised in this country. It's okay. When you're not raised in the country, you're not expected to know the history.
Oh, sure, and it's easy to make those Freudian slips, and of course, you know, that's so, you know, that's conspiracy nonsense, right? But the bottom line is what we're seeing, although it's an exciting time to be alive, and I really think it is. It is, if people aren't looking at the bigger picture, and getting, if people don't get their I mean, most people today, with the exception of present company excluded of the audience listening to this, aside, most people are either need a proctologist or a general surgeon, depending on how deep their head is buried up their butts. Okay, I don't know which, but you know, they suffer from this rectal cranial inversion, or they've got their heads buried so deep in whatever social media or iPhone, I this, I that, whatever it might be, they're not seeing the real world. And the real world, what's taking place is this grand chess move right now. There's a word, and I can't recall the word. There's a word that's used in chess that the opponent says right before a major loss is about to take place. And I think they're uttering that word.
I don't know that phrase either, but I think it probably would be something like, your butt is mine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's like zigzag or something like that. It escapes me right off the top of my head. But that's where I think we're at. And, you know, there are a lot of proxies that are a part of this, Dave. You've done so much coverage of the internal, the domestic, the positioning of foreign troops within this country. And people laugh, they scoff, they say, oh, it's a conspiracy, we know about it, and the movements, you know, you've covered under Jade Helm. And, but if people would just stop long enough and go back and look at what you've written, what I've written, what we've talked about, and kind of know that I think that right now is that final stretch. Now is that move. Now they're uttering that word before their great chess moves. And that's why, going back to the original opening part of this, people need to get prepared, because this could happen really overnight or in a short period of time. And again, I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next month, but when it does happen, it may not take that much time. So we have to really be aware and watch the larger global events. And don't think for one moment that these are not connected, because they are.
Well, I think those dots definitely connect. Brief time we have left. World War III or not?
Oh, gee, sure. Don't know when, but absolutely. And it's going to be U.S. and Western interests versus Russian and Chinese, as you pointed out. Absolutely. And it's going to be laid in the lap of Donald Trump.
Yep, exactly. That's why Obama is laying all the switches to trigger it all. It's incredible what he has done. And I, you know, one last question, too, along these lines. Does Trump go after Hillary Clinton and friends?
You know, I think they're going to keep him so busy. It's possible, but I think they're going to keep him so busy, his Justice Department so busy with other things. However, if enough independent media journalists and people demand it, yeah, I think he's going to have to put up. I think he's going to have to do it, Dave. I really do. However, whether or not Bill or Hillary survive, that is, because of their existing health problems, any justice. I don't know to see any justice. But certainly their daughter, who is neck deep in this, as our other associates are neck deep in the Clinton Foundation and everything that the Clintons have done. There needs to be definitely an investigation and pursuit of justice against the Clintons.
I hope it's not an investigation. Rather, I hope it's a purge. Anyway, that's just my animalistic need for revenge. And, yes, I'll pray for repentance when I'm off the air. Doug, very quickly, you've got a book you've written. I advertised for your book, Stained by Blood, on thecommonsenseshow.com. Very quickly, tell people about the book and how they can get a copy.
I'll tell you what, Dave, you're very kind. Quickly, if you send me an email, just go to, I'll tell you what, go to stainedbyblood.com. That's stainedbyblood.com. Stainedbyblood.com. Excuse me, anyone who puts Dave Hodges, mentions Dave Hodges, I will send them a signed copy for $15. All you have to do is go to stainedbyblood.com, and in the notes section there, just put Dave Hodges, and I will, or just Hodges, and I'll send them a book out of $15. Stainedbyblood.com.
Okay, very good. And I wanted to get that in because I also wanted to ask you this question too: who would the military side with in the Civil War?
I would defer to you on that because you've, again, you're so, your contacts are so good. I would tend to think there would be a splitting of the military. That's just my view, and I do believe that the majority of the military would side with the American people. However, the color guard, the flag officers are politicians, not warriors, and they would side with Washington.
It's an interesting way to look at it, and I happen to agree with you. What's coming up on the Hagman and Hagman Report this week?
Oh, we've got an ex-Secret Service agent who was with Kennedy during his assassination. He's an elderly man, but very articulate. That's tomorrow. He's got some inside baseball on that and the Secret Service as a whole. And coming up this week, we've got just a number of different guests, citizen journalists, as well as discussion about things like Media Matters and Pizzagate, censorship of the news, fake news, and of course, we're going to be watching what you write about and talking about that as well.
The beat goes on, my friend. Never a dull day in this world, and it's absolutely incredible. When I started this venture 10 years ago, I never dreamed it would end up where we're at. Doug Hagman, thanks so much for joining us. Catch his show on the Hagman and Hagman Report here from 7 to 10 p.m. I almost gave my time zone. 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, right here on Global Star. Thanks, Doug. We're out of here.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll be back in hour number two with Dr. Ted Brewer.